Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2133. To follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Hams deploy for storm communications. The Voice of America's Bethany Relay Station marks an anniversary. And a tribute to Navajo Code Talkers. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report 2133 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Charleston, West Virginia, here's Jim Dameron, NATMW.
We begin this week's report with breaking news. As Newsline went to production, hams in the United States were bracing to provide storm response on several fronts. By September 12th, South Carolina Ares had been activated and the ARRL had shipped ham aid kits to the state in advance of Hurricane Florence. The Hurricane Watch Net was closely following that hurricane as well as Tropical Storm Isaac and other systems. The Salvation Army Team Emergency Network was also preparing for the likelihood of an extended activation. With more details, here's Bobby Best, WX4ALA.
What just before the start of the official start of the hurricane season was predicted to be an average to slightly above average season by the National Hurricane Center was later downgraded mid-season to an average to below average season sure seems to have kicked off September with a vengeance. With one named storm, Tropical Storm Gordon, already having made landfall along the Alabama-Mississippi Gulf Coast, plus as of this story being filed, there were three named storms in the Atlantic Basin, Hurricane Florence that is forecasted to make landfall somewhere along the southern Atlantic coast, Hurricane Isaac that could affect the Caribbean, and finally, of the named storms, there's Hurricane Helene located just off the coast of Africa. There's also an area of concern that the NHC is monitoring that could ultimately affect the Western Gulf in the coming days. This area of the Gulf of Mexico is very conducive for the potential of tropical development at this time, so persons in the area or with interest in the area need to closely monitor weather conditions. Be sure to follow the NWS and local media outlets and heed the advice of local government officials. If evacuations are suggested, follow those suggestions, please. Additionally, follow the directions of your local Aries leadership before and after landfall and monitor and report emergency traffic on the National Hurricane Center net and the various local Skywarn nets on their respective frequencies through this event. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bobby Best, WX4ALA.
Young members of an amateur radio club at one school in the UK just got the gift of DX, as Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us.
If some of the students at Sandringham School in St Albans, Hertfordshire, seem to be disappearing at lunchtime or after school, it's probable you'll find them in the first floor room that houses the school's amateur radio club station, M0SCY. At this secondary school for high achievers, these particular youngsters are looking for particularly high marks, not just in academics but also in DXing. Members of the Sandringham School's amateur radio club, now in its second year, they recently helped assemble and install a tri-band beam antenna that had been donated by the school's headmaster, Alan Gray, G4DJX. With extra help from him and the school's caretaker, the team of young hams got the antenna in place this month and added a donated rotator with the support of a friend and Nevada Radio. Alan told Newsline that the students went on the air and immediately noticing the improvement of the beam over the multiband dipole they'd been using, they wasted no time setting themselves up for their next assignment, the challenge of completing DXCC by the end of the year. Alan noted that this won't just be a ham radio achievement for the youngsters, but with a nearby map, a geography lesson as well. He said the students have their eyes on some contests in the coming months and have begun entering the Radio Society of Great Britain's 80-metre cumulative contest. These high achievers have done well. The club's September entry made 68 contacts in an hour and a half, with only four operators. Best of all, Alan said, The students are teaching one another and working together. Now, he says, all he needs is a little extra help around the shack to keep up the encouragement and the knowledge. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Hams are mourning the loss of a longtime amateur who was as devoted to lighthouses as to radio, as Kevin Trotman, N5PRE, reports.
Just as Jim Widener, K2JXW, showed his devotion to historic beacons for safety for maritime travelers when he founded Amateur Radio Lighthouse Society, he too was seen as a beacon of friendship to those who knew him. Jim, who founded the organization in 2000 and watched it grow to a worldwide membership of nearly 1,700, has become a silent key. His death was announced on the website of the Society on September 7th. A resident of Merchantville, New Jersey, Jim had retired from a career of more than 30 years as an English teacher in the Northern Burlington County Regional School District. He was also active in the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary and the Office of Emergency Management for the Borough of Merchantville. The organization website noted that it was founded in part to honor the heritage of lighthouses and lightships, but also to recognize lighthouse keepers as maritime heroes. Jim had been a licensed amateur since 1954. In an online tribute on the Society website, John KX40, to whom Jim had passed the baton, wrote, quote, "Jim's friends are numerous and many continue to help me fulfill his goals of the ARLHS. So, in a very real way, Jim lives on in all of us as we continue to make ARLHS what it is today," end quote. Jim Widener, who died on the 1st of September, was 77. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
Everyone needs a little extra help sometimes, and scouts pursuing their merit badges just got another resource, as we hear from Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
New help for scout troops pursuing the radio merit badge and operating Jamboree on the air is now available free in the form of a YouTube video. Scott Newman, KC3KKW from Troop 512 in Springfield, Pennsylvania, tells us more about it.
Well, there have been a couple of assistant scoutmasters and I have banded together to create what's called Troop Resource. And it is basically a program that reaches out to other troops to help them, especially if they are under-resourced. What we're doing right now is curating videos, PowerPoint shows, and we actually put on this live internet, what we call a TV show. We've got one coming up, which will be all about ham radio and Jamboree on the air.
The group produces a live call-in show on Facebook Live about various scouting topics, but this month it's about ham radio.
And we're having people in. We're having the executive director from the Education Alliance for Amateur Radio. He's going to be on the show telling us about what they're going to be doing for JATA in October on the weekend of the 20th and the 21st. But they basically come in and they offer scouts and any other interested party who happens to be there education on ham radio, and they give them the opportunity to use ham equipment. And they're an awesome group in that they actually bring all of their radio equipment and a 40-foot antenna with them in a military trailer. And they pull up and unload the equipment and get everything ready.
As this newscast goes to air, the live show has already happened, but you can find this and all of their shows archived on YouTube. Just search for Troop Resource to find their channel. And for more information about this program, visit trooperesource.org. Reporting for Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the W4GSO repeater in Greensboro, North Carolina, on Sundays at 8:30 p.m. If you're in the shack anytime on September 22nd between 1300 and 2100 UTC, tune to 20 or 40 meters and help the Bethany Relay Station of the Voice of America mark the 74th anniversary of its commissioning on September 23rd, 1944. WC8VOA will be operating a special event station, offering both a QSL card and a downloadable commemorative certificate. Afterward, in another part of the distinctive Art Deco building in Westchester, Ohio, the National VOA Museum of Broadcasting will be hosting a fundraising event from 5:30 to 10:30 p.m. local time to support needed building renovations. If you can't get there, however, get on the air. While WC8VOA's HF equipment and antennas aren't the original ones dating back to 1944, the spirit of VOA history is surely still there on the air. In California's Sonoma County, organizers are combining an air show with a radio show. Special event station K6W. Here's Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
Sonoma County, California has struggled to rise above the ashes of the recent wildfire devastation. And on September 22nd and 23rd, the county's spirit gets a boost from dozens and dozens of wings. The kind of wings you'll find at the air show taking place at the Charles M. Schultz Sonoma County Airport on those 2 days. The Wings Over Wine Country Air Show will feature aerobatic performances, the U.S. Air Force Academy skydiving team, and flybys of historic planes from World War II. Just as the aircraft overhead put on their shows, the Sonoma County radio amateurs will be demonstrating on the ground. Special event call sign K6W will be activated on 20 and 40 meters, depending on band conditions. No wonder the event theme is Rising Together, a celebration of recovery in Sonoma County. After a challenging season, everyone there will want to know that things are looking up. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
It's been 100 years since Australia and the UK connected via wireless, so something special is being planned, as we hear from Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
The first successful exchange of messages between Australia and the United Kingdom via wireless in 1918 is marked every 5 years by contact between the Dragon Amateur Radio Club in Wales and the Hornsby Amateur Radio Club, together with the Ku-ring-gai Historical Society in VK2. This year, 100 years after the original experimental transmission between the two nations, the experiment is about to occur again. This time on the 22nd of September as a reenactment of the original Morse code message and a broader celebration. With this year being a 100-year anniversary, the Ku-ring-gai Municipal Council is planning to host a celebration that will include displays in the nearby St. Andrew's Church Hall, as well as an amateur radio station operated by the Hornsby and District Amateur Radio Club with the call sign VK100 Marconi. At the same time in Wales, the Dragon Amateur Radio Club will operate its own HF station from the site of the Marconi transmitter there using the call sign GB2VK. The day's activities will include replication of the original message sent from Wales by Australian Prime Minister Billy Hughes to Ernest Fisk, who was at home at his wireless station in Wurrunga. But why wait until the 22nd of the month? The Wireless Institute of Australia has been celebrating all month, and hams are being allocated state and territory-based special event call signs for the duration of the observance. The call signs have the prefix VI and the suffix Marconi, with the appropriate number in between designating each state or territory. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
In this week's World of DX, Claudio HB9OAU is on the air as SV5/HB9OAU from Karpathos Dodekanesa through the 20th of September. He's operating SSB and FT8 on 80 through 10 meters. QSL via home call, direct or bureau, LOTW or EQSL, also on club log. Members of the Saudi Amateur Radio Society are marking Saudi Arabia's 88th National Day by being on the air from the 16th to the 30th of September, with the call signs HZ88ND, 7Z88ND, and 8Z88ND. They'll be operating from Riyadh. The celebration marks the September 23rd anniversary of the kingdom's unification by royal decree in 1932. QSL via HZ1BF. Look for the logs to be uploaded to Clublog and LOTW. STU K4MIL is operating from Guantanamo Bay as KG4SS starting September 25th and through October 9th. Listen for him on 160 through 10 meters using CW, SSB, RIDI, and FT8. You'll find him in the CQWWDX RIDI contest between September 29th and 30th. QSL via home call sign or LOTW. Hans, PA3HGT, is operating as 3B8/PA3HGT from Mauritius through the 24th of September. He'll be on SSB and possibly some digital modes on 40, 20, and 10 meters. QSL via home call, direct, or bureau. You've probably heard of the Navajo Code Talkers. Paul Brown, WD9GCO, talked with the proud son of one of them and learned how this ham recently honored his dad.
One of the most fascinating stories to come out of World War II, at least to me, is that of the Navajo Code Talkers, a group of Native Americans who were recruited by the military to exchange tactical messages in a code based on their native language. It was a practically unbreakable code due to the obscurity of the Navajo language and the limited number of people who actually knew it. The Code Talkers have been getting some recognition in recent years, but one man, Herb Goodluck, N7HG, a Navajo himself, organized a special event to honor them.
I started this 2004 in commemoration of the Navajo Code Talkers. My late dad, he was the one that was doing the code talking back in the South Pacific Theater. A group of Native Americans were enlisting the United States Marine Corps. And what they used for was to pass messages from a battleship to onshore islands.
Goodluck is the son of the late John V. Goodluck, and he wanted to bring awareness to their story.
Since my father had the Oklahoma Silent Key in the year 2000, I'm trying to figure out how to keep the legacy going. This is the only way I know as far as like in ham radio. And each year I've been sending out QSL cards, different ones. Last year and this year we do have certificates available.
Goodluck already has next year's event scheduled, at least for the first day.
The commemoration is located in Window Rock, Arizona, the Navajo Nation Veteran Park. Next year, we're going to have it again on August the 14th, 2019. That's just one day in Window Rock, Arizona. And then we'll figure out how many days we're going to actually run, maybe a whole week again.
Goodluck said that the event is usually listed as N7 Charlie in QST and on the ARRL website. We would also suggest that you take some time to research and read up on the story of the Code Talkers, Navajo or otherwise. Those brave men contributed a lot to the war effort and deserve recognition. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
With thanks to Allen Labs, Amateur News Weekly, the Amateur Radio Lighthouse Society, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, Daryl Paul, KI6MSP, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, Michelle Carey, W5MQC, Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, QST Magazine, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, Wireless Institute of Australia, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Jim Dameron, NATMW in Charleston, West Virginia, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2018, all rights reserved.